Hello and welcome to Canberra Metalheads. This is episode 88 with the Mighty Witch Skull. We're here in an undisclosed location until we bring it up. So we'll kick it off with Tony. Where are we, bro?
We are right now in Vance Custom Guitars.
I'm not editing that in post. That's what you do. And we got Joel here and Marcus as well. Yep. How you doing, fellas?
How you going?
Good, mate. How's good? Yourself?
Yeah, good.
Hello,
good.
Marky. How you going?
Yeah. Good. It's been, I think this is like third time we've been on the show. One for every album that I've done after you put out the first album, second, and now this is the third time I've had you on after an album release. So
yeah.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, amazing stuff.
Speaking of the album, we would have just heard at the top of the show just a sample from one of the tracks on there. It is
Bornless Hollow.
There we go. See, I threw it over to him, just like you were trying to do to me.
But you couldn't say it properly.
Yeah, well, I said boneless, you know what I mean? Because I'm a fat fuck and I like chicken. So I just look. I see that, I'm like, yeah, I'll get the Boneless Hollow.
That's
you
it.
Know what I mean? I'm going to go order one after this. Yeah, I like the drum intro. The reason I like that song as a good intro is because I feel like every member of the band has like a moment to shine throughout that song. You got the drum intro, you got like big vocals, and then there's like
shine.
What's that?
It says shine.
It says shine.
It says shine in the song.
Oh, there we go. See, fucking shine in the song.
I'm gonna order some fried rice. What's going on?
That's
here?
The chorus, man. It goes something for you to shine.
Yeah, yeah. And it's even, was this another Goat Sound record as well?
Yes, correct, sir.
Because I like the like I said, everyone's got a moment to shine there, and you got like vocals. There's like the, you have this way of like distorting your own vocals, Marcus. Like it's like a like at the end, like there's that fucking
there's
like
no,
wibble.
There's no distortion on.
Yeah, I know, it's all natural.
But I think most vocals that are recorded in the studio, I do have a little bit of gain on them, especially on the choruses.
Right.
You are you talking about vibrato, though?
Yeah.
You're talking about the wobbly vibrato, which I would call that, meh, like a lamb.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really like, meh. It's very unique.
It's literally a goat sound from Goat Sound.
It's
like a double-edged thing, yeah.
That's why he does it.
But it's very whiny.
Yeah.
And, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good, dude. Yeah. I remember one of the first interviews we did at the very end, we're just like, all right, thanks for being on the show, blah, 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 blah. And then you just did a random goat sound, dude. I still got that. It's like, for a while, it's my message tone, dude. I'm just fucking
what
getting messages.
What have I been doing kicks, man? What have I been doing kicks? Just doing a meow?
Yeah. What's that?
Doing a meow.
Oh, yeah. Just like a vocal warm-up sort of thing?
No, just
or?
On the mic between the songs. Once or twice, just go, meow. And there'll always be somebody in the crowd that'll go meow.
But yeah, so you filmed, you recorded this with and with Goat Sound, who you had before, you record it there as well? Yeah, well, they just do the mix and master.
Yeah, we recorded it at Toyland Studio.
Oh yeah,
we did the bass
and drums, really.
Yeah. So then there's a whole bunch of additional sort of stuff like
done at Goatland,
Goat Sound. Yeah.
Goatland.
I bought Ashley a screaming goat for his birthday.
I preemptively knew that, like, we can get into tangents and all that shit. So what I did, this is a secret from behind the scenes of Canberra Metalheads. From the first ever time you guys were in studio, I had to cut out 5 minutes of the show. Okay.
Yeah.
I had to cut out 5 minutes of the show. Because not because it was bad, but just because it was a bit too long and I couldn't fit it on radio.
Yeah.
So I have a secretly unreleased section of Marcus talking about the perils of getting ready for stage and having to buy, you know, all the stage outfit, hair dye, all the shit ready to go.
Yep.
That's going to be a bonus at the end of the episode. So if you enjoy Marcus's ranting, that's going to be at the very end, just a secret little snip at the end there talking about going at night time, no one's watching, quickly grab the fucking hair dye, run up to the front, no one even knows, dude. That's the secret.
Okay.
That's a while ago now.
Dude, I like it, man.
Great,
I think it's good.
Yeah, I look a lot better.
I think it's good, man.
So many people have said,
Yeah, but to hear the evolution
of like the new Marky.
Listen to the end of the fucking show.
It's because we're doom.
Yeah,
doom rock. Like all the doom rock guys have all got grey hair. All the thrash metal guys.
Yeah, yeah.
All got jet black hair. They're 80 years old.
Yeah, dude. They're
watching
like,
the Manowar.
Fuck getting a sponsor from fucking Marshall, dude. You need a fucking sponsor from Viagra at that point.
My role models.
They can't be called the hard-ons if they're not fucking hard, you know what I mean?
My role models were Tony Iommi and Lemmy, and I kept looking at them and thinking, oh, it's okay, they've dyed their hair. And then I just, see, when my hair went white when I was 36.
Okay.
And then I thought, I don't feel like a white or grey haired dude yet. And then I thought, when I turn 50, I'm going to stop dyeing my hair, and that's what I did.
Okay.
Sorry for ranting.
No, that's fine. That's good. It's a line in the sand. 50, you know, don't do it anymore.
I've talked to other people and they've said the same thing to me. Two people I've talked to.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I was wondering how many.
Thing.
I like how you keep the tabs, you know what I mean? How many people, too? See?
We're, I go
it's all, there's nothing behind the scenes. It's all up front.
I go busking, Gypsy Jazz with Ashley round, and I've counted everyone 26 times.
26.
I've counted how many times I've driven to Sydney to rehearse. 61.
Fuck yeah, dude. You're like the Rain Man of metal, dude.
Well, some people said you're prolific. I don't think I'm very prolific.
How many guitars do you own?
I got this one. This is made by Rusty.
Yep.
Silverbird. It's my dream guitar. He made it a couple of years ago. Have a look at it.
Yeah.
And I helped design
it. Did he make
that? It's got he just gave it to me because I endorsed these guitars.
Nice.
There's no inlay dots.
Yep.
Joel suggested that.
Did I?
No, I got Joel's fucking Silverburst proper Gibson Flying V.
Yeah.
Brought it here and said, can you just make it like that one? So this is ultra modern guitar, almost graphite type neck, like solid, mate.
Yeah, it's like
solid.
It's like a stealth version.
Solid as
fuck. Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful guitar.
I like it,
I'm in awe of it. I love it.
It's good. It's the silver burst to represent the 50 year of not dyeing your hair. You know,
well,
like at the same time
I know,
it came out. It's the exact same thing.
I know. You're
and
right.
The reason I like the
I
no dot. Yeah, yeah. True. See, we're on the same level, dude. It's like
you know why? Talk.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, without the dots, it's like saying, I don't need fucking guides.
Nobody,
I know what's going on.
Nobody does.
I don't need fucking paint by numbers, dude. I fucking can read this.
Nobody does, because the dots are right there on the neck.
Yeah.
And nobody plays the guitar and bends their neck and looks down to see where the dots are.
That's a good point, actually. Like, if you watch the
Michael
band
Schenker.
And it's like...
yeah, it's Michael like, Schenker does. Yeah, but the thing is, this is a beautiful piece of ebony wood. And why the fuck would you want to gouge out and put little pictures and things
in
it?
Yeah, yeah.
He suggested different things. Egyptian hieroglyphics, a cat print, and no.
Yeah.
Show the back print. How awesome's that?
The Shane
that's cool.
Chat Noir.
Yeah, point that
black
towards
cat
us. Yeah.
From
yeah,
the poster, Lautrec. So I thought that, because I was going to put one of my cats on there.
All right.
And then,
that might be a little bit close.
Joel, you fucking pissed.
Just watch. Yeah. Oh, no, that's good. That's perfect. Yeah, so if anyone's listening to the audio version, there'll be a link in the description where you can click straight to that part of the video and see the cat. Yeah, I'll put that in there. Good stuff. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, I like it. I like the...
Flying V.
You'd be a bit worried if you seen someone about to rip a solo. They play the first two and they're like, oh, fuck, I'm in the wrong octave. And they look at the neck and they slide their hand up and start again. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you don't need the dots on there, you know? You see someone fucking... Yeah.
I don't know why the dots are there.
Yeah, well, it's for people like me that can't play, but yourself, you got it sorted.
Nobody looks at the neck.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the neck, but you can see the dots. These ones glow, man. Glow in the dark, fucking.
I use the dots. I rehearse looking in the mirror.
Tony uses dots.
Usually in the morning.
Randy Rhodes has got the flying V with
it's
the
a good
dots.
Way to strut my stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Thanks.
His other character is the bass warrior.
Yeah. Fucking, there we
serious
go.
Shit. Don't fuck around with the Avengers. Just look into the base for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you could take it from there, Marky.
I know this is a bit of a cliche question. Yeah. I know we've spoke about, like you mentioned before, you've got your cockpit at home. You know, you've got your section where you just sit there and get in the zone.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, aside from playing guitar, do you ever find yourself playing other instruments to help influence? Like, do you have any other, like bass or
I've got a synth.
Anything like that?
Synth? Yeah, and but what I do all day is practice gypsy jazz guitar.
Yeah, I've seen some of the clips actually, yeah.
Each one of us are equal.
Yeah.
And we all want to work on these songs together. So occasionally Tony and Joel and myself will bring a riff, but everything's done collectively.
Like in rehearsal and that sort
everything,
of thing?
Everything. A lot of it is Tony will go, dum, dum, dum. And I go, dude, just fucking keep playing that. And it turns into the Red Altar.
Yeah. Jamming. Yeah. Just jamming riff. Yeah.
We've done a few back and forth with different like writing styles and shit over the years on the show. So like if people haven't heard the previous episodes, I recommend going through previous Witch Skull things because we've pretty much, like I said, done an interview at the end of each album release. One thing I noticed though that we haven't really done through is equipment breakdown. Is there any specific, you're talking about guitar, like personalized stuff, is there anything specifically that you're like, I want this in my kit forever? Yeah, like you need it in the setup?
Not really. Like my drums I bought sort of before I sort of joined Witch Skull.
Yeah,
just a good sort of proper German built Sona kit.
Yeah,
and because I sort of tune all my drums pretty low so that they sort of blend into the mix, because both these guys are detuned. You know, I want to make sure the drums are kind of detuned to a certain sort of level as well.
Yeah.
So they don't sort of jump out of the mix.
They're all tuned to E.
Yeah, I didn't realise that. I just sort of. Tune them down as low as you can before the skin start flapping. That's every about drum. Where we stick.
Everything's all unconsciously tuned to E.
That's, we got guitar song? Drums. What's the best Slayer song? All right, let's do that. What's your favourite Slayer
song? For me, it's Chemical Warfare. Always has been, always will be.
Yeah, yeah. Are we on the same page, Tony?
Yeah. No, Joel knows his Slayer stuff, you know what I'm saying? Their first albums are great. All the songs, man. You know?
Just gonna chuck.
I don't have a favourite one.
What about the best Venom song?
Best Venom
song? Favourite Venom song.
Fuck, that's a tougher one because they've got like 50 fucking absolute ball terrors.
Yeah.
But probably for me, Schizo. Well, anything off Welcome to Hell is good, but Schizo just seems to be one of those ones that just sort of has everything.
Mm.
Oh, Rip Ride too.
Yeah, yep.
First song on side two of A War with Satan. Fuck, that's probably, when you think about it, the greatest heavy metal song ever. It's got double kicks, it's got fucking mad screams.
Do you find that you tend to gravitate more towards listening to the drums because you play drums? Do you reckon that, like, if there was a great song that someone else recommended to you that might be a guitarist, and then you're listening to it, but you're listening to the drums, you might not have the same opinion?
Nah, drums to me are not really... my favourite drummer of all time is Phil Rudd from AC/DC. Because what it does is you just kind of lock into what he's doing, and it's all about feel as opposed to listening. It's about what you feel, not about what you hear. To me, it's not really drums that I listen to. For me, it's all about, it's got to have groove. So I suppose in that sense, drums in sort of helping capture and lock in that groove.
We're not really into jolty music.
Yeah.
Stuff that goes, did you, like, jolty?
Yeah.
We're more into just...
I get it. I feel like groove isn't just drums though, like you said. It's like everything.
Absolutely. You know? It's not at all, because that's where I think, again, AC/DC is just the masters, because you've got the greatest rhythm guitarist of all time, the greatest drummer of all time, and really good bass players, either if you're talking sort of Mark Evans or...
the big fella.
What's his name? Cliff Williams. Either of those guys are fucking killer, but you know what I mean? It's the drums and rhythm guitar that makes AC/DC for me. So that's what makes AC/DC.
Yeah, it's
those two dudes are the absolute two key.
And the singing.
Oh, it's all good, but what I'm saying is, to me, what makes them the greatest musical entity of all time is Malcolm and Phil. But that's just a personal opinion.
Yeah.
Because no one's locked in better grooves than that ever, before or after, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck, a lot of people reckon the same, man. Like, AC/DC, like, coming out of Australia too, like, hits a lot harder amongst Aussies because you just sort of like, fuck, you know, it's got that, the same sort of feel to it as...
Well, they had a level of mongrel in them.
When we were coming here today, we were listening to it, and it does, it sounds like Chico Rolls and E.H. Holmes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
We were listening to the TNT so in the van on the way here. We do need to pause for a sec, because...
You have to urine.
I'd fucking bust them.
All right.
Yeah, so just interview right. A band in their 50s, you got to stop every 15 minutes. No, Marky's going to do a solo.
Dude, you're right.
We're going like... solo.
So no, all right, let's call a break there. Let's pick a track, Marcus, which you want me to put a sample just to take us into the break from the new album.
Tony.
No.
I'll let Tony.
I refuse. No, I pick The Tyrian Dawn.
There we go, and then we'll be back. As we went through, the guitar, the drums, you know, we're nearly at the final part where we can get through some bass. Tony,
the most important part of this band is definitely the bass.
The deepest part.
And these two would agree that I'm like the magic glue that binds which skull together.
Yeah, that's it. That's the.
Thank you.
I remember when you were on the show before, you said bass. Bass guitars have four strings. Bumper, bumper, bumper. Write that down.
Yes. Yeah. That's one fucking note there, too. Don't fucking stray. Yes. What would you like to know about the bass guitar?
All right, tell me.
How do you pronounce it?
Well,
bass guitar?
Yeah, let's... Well, first up, how do you bass? Spell it? Bass?
Have you seen an octave bass?
You spell it B-S.
It takes two people to play it. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Not many.
It's spelled B-S.
Yep. And it takes two to tango.
And they're called an octo bass.
No,
I haven't seen that. I play a four string bass.
Yeah. So that's your. Now, do you have a particular brand you like to stick to?
Yeah, there's two brands I play. Yep. One is a Fender. Mm-hmm. You might have heard this brand. It's common amongst humans. And Rickenbacker.
Yeah.
Bass. I'll call the Rick. And a lot of people admire those basses too. And so do I.
Motorhead fans?
Yeah, a lot of bands play them. It's more of a 60s bass, and a Fender's a good thrashing bass, you know? You gotta have both. But I detuned for the first time in my time at Witch Skull, and I tuned down, so I'm using a different bass. Down-tuning.
Yeah, that actually...
It's a bigger sound on the album. It's a big, fat, nasty sound. It's not on your favorite song, Boneless Hollow, but it's on six of the tracks.
Yeah. Yeah,
fucking yeah. We're back.
You know my favorite song better than fucking I do. You're talking about.
I'll tell you what you like. Keep going. Let's go.
But yeah, look, I like the new album. I just got it on. I got it when it came out. I pre-ordered it on vinyl. And there's a few different options available. I think I got one of the maybe purple. I think there's a purple version. That I got. I always get a standard, like the black and one other. So cool. I've got a purple, I've got a Dimension, it's all good.
Thanks. You're a good kid. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm not like fucking thank shout you. Out to Mark fucking Fitzsimmons up. Getting fucking like enough for a village every time something comes out. What a unit, hey? I thought I was bad enough getting like, you know, getting more than one of each one. I noticed that this one is aimed more at the vinyl release as well. Do you reckon that since you put out the previous albums on vinyl, do you keep that in mind when you're writing and recording, knowing that it's going to be on like more on like a vinyl matrix instead of like just digital? Does that have an influence?
It is important to us, vinyl, but all of our track listings are based on for vinyl.
Yeah,
like we never think about, we know it's going to come out on CD.
Yeah,
but the vinyl, you know, the release for the vinyl is the way, you know, obviously it's really important for us, our fifth song, because that's going to always be the first track on side two.
Mm.
So the way we think about the way we structure our albums is always based around vinyl.
Good. That's a good bit of insight. So we'll wrap it up with that. I think we've got a good scope, everyone. Fucking finishing talking about the album, I think that, yeah, people should go and check that out. It's on Rise Above Records. There'll be a link in the show notes for where people can buy the album if they haven't already. And it's been great hanging out. Happy to get behind you guys, and I like doing episodes after each one. You know, we'll put out the box set. You know, fucking all three of them.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, hey, if I dig up some old anything that I clipped from any of the previous shows, I'm going to put it at the end as like an Easter egg for anyone that
sounds good. Why not?
Yeah, yeah, just a little flashback down memory lane. So yeah, cheers for being on the show.
Cheers, and, bro. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And we'll wrap it up with play it out with the title track on Canberra Metalheads. Cheers for tuning in. Peace.
Cheers, mate.
Like I went silver, grey, silver when I was like 36. Ever since then, I've just been dyeing my hair.
Yeah.
So I'm like a dude that's pretending to want to be young. Because like when I was 36, I didn't feel like a silver dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now I'm 47, and it's like I'm still dyeing my hair. I go into the supermarket and I see, and I look up the aisle and I think, oh, who's there? I hope nobody sees me. You know what I mean? So then I go there. I'll try and go there late at night, 11 o'clock at night to Woolworths.
The best thing,
and I'm like looking around, but probably the last 2 years, that need, I don't know if it's vanity or what it is, that need is starting to dissipate.
Yeah, yeah.
But I still, like we did a video clip a couple of months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I still had to go and dye my hair a day before.
Yeah.
Man, it's entertainers. Yeah, it's one of the entertainers. It's so shallow. Because the deal is you're playing in front of people, you want to try and look your best.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I'm just going to let myself go soon. But like I'm actually, my hair's white like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's really the reason I don't grow a beard, because it's going to be silver, then I'm going to go and have to get beard dye.
Look like ours, mate.
And it's a beard dye.
It's wisdom. You get the wisdom
from these two dudes. Bob Geldof.
These two dudes are humble, whereas I'm like a vain half Italian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
maybe after the launch of the new album, it'd be a good time to, you know, let everyone know the wisdom behind the structure. You can finally all be the grey beards.
Yeah,
grey beards.
I look so different. It's because I mean, you look at somebody and they with dark, you know, darker hair, and you see people with grey hair. Because I always grew up looking at people, and then I look at older people with grey hair and think, that looks shit. You know what I mean? And now I'm just thinking, but I used to think that was beards when I was like 20. I used to look at beards and go, that looks shit.
No, but I was like a goth. Grey hair, man.
Yeah. I was like a full on goth dude with all black clothes and big buffy hair and like heaps of bangles and shit. It's pretty good.
We all went through it. So
I got a hot girlfriends, man. It's your clothes you wear, you know.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's what fits the scene.
The music from 67 to 74, that's the best music.
Yeah.
People were smoking a lot of pot. They were on their acid. Then about 1974, the heroin and the coke came in.
Yeah.
Totally destroyed music. In the 80s came in mega coke. Full-on coke. Look at the music.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Not how that Coca-Cola. Influence. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get to see Zeppelin?
No, I'm not that. Jesus Christ.
I know there was still, I saw Jimmy Page.
Listen, I seen Jimmy Page when he did that thing with the Black Crowes, and that was like really. Did you go to that?